I love that. Ooh, oh.
On 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
It's time for Viewmaster, that's it, before I forgot to fade it up. full disclosure, I think, on this show, Alex. I think if you're gonna make a blunder, blunder up and then admit to it.
Lean into it.
Yep.
Lean into the blunder.
It's not like I didn't know four animals of a given D.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
How are you anyway?
Yeah, apart from reeling with embarrassment about that.
But I'm, that's not your forte. I'm TV's well. Your forte, Alex.
Animals are not my forte, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. New Zealand?
Radio Land?
Okay, to television.
Hey, can we have a little Christmas hug? Come on, let's have a Christmas hug.
We've got to talk about TV, Mike.
I just want to clear the air, you know? Christmas hug, there we go. We've got to talk about TV, Mike.
It's definitely the closest I've ever been to Mikey's armpit.
How does it feel?
It was pretty good.
It was like a microclimate.
Surprisingly nice.
Thank you.
Okay, so this week we're going to talk about the girlfriend experience. We teased it last week because we were talking about TV shows that were based on films.
Yeah.
This show based on a film by Steven Soderbergh from 2009. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
The film as well as the show?
I've seen bits of the film.
Is the film also based on a book?
Oh, I don't know that. Mm. I'm not sure how far back that ancestry of the girlfriend experience goes.
The film starred a different girl. The girl that starred in the film was a very well-known pornography actress.
Yep. And it has almost zero sex in it.
So
in fact, pretty much none, despite...
Who suggested it did?
Well, okay.
Oh, her being a porn actress, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perhaps we should rewind and give the listeners out there a premise breakdown. So both the film and the show are about what it is like to be a sex worker, essentially. It follows protagonists who are, you know, in the business of sex work.
The movie starts off somewhere. The series, they sort of set the scene with. Girl sort of just trying to get through, you know, just being a girl and a modern girl, and then suddenly meets another girl,
yeah,
who is making a lot of money, having quite a good lifestyle, and suggests to her perhaps you should get into the game.
The film that's a good setup for the show, for the first season of the show. The film is a little more, she's pretty much already in that world by the time we meet her.
Oh really?
And what she's trying to do is kind of like you know, level up. She wants to get like on the internet and get some good photos.
Oh,
and
you mean
like
just go from being hooker to high class hooker.
Exactly. I mean,
is an escort more
exactly,
posh than
exactly.
I like the way you said sex worker was a much more polite way to say it.
There is a difference in the worlds of these pieces of content, I guess, about you know, being a hooker versus being an escort, you know, like in the name of the show, The Girlfriend Experience, speaks to that.
Yeah,
it's about getting to experience having a girlfriend,
paying the extra money and to, you have someone who spends the whole night with you.
And, yeah,
but also and, conversation and dinner and going out sometimes as well.
What I really like about the
like
title is it speaks to both sides of that coin, because for the women it's essentially the girlfriend experience as well, and actually the first season of the show speaks quite heavily to that. Mm. This woman that has never had a relationship and has never been a girlfriend and is kind of emotionally mute in many ways, and you know, it's kind of figuring out what that means, and you know, obviously having the fact that she's being paid to be a girlfriend complicating her experience of it. Things that are good about film and show. I really like that there's this distinct sense of voyeurism to the whole world of it. Everything's filmed in these enormous wide shots. Characters kind of speak in these whispers between each other from the far, far, far away.
And fancy bars and exotic offices.
Yeah. But really, really cold and really empty environments. It almost feels a bit like a Denis Villeneuve movie. It's sterile, exactly. And it's almost like the beginning of the show, the first season of the show, it sort of feels a little mumblecore, even.
Like, mumblecore?
Yeah.
But very, very good looking mumblecore.
That's actually perfect. Mumblecore. I've just never heard it used before.
I definitely didn't invent that movie. I didn't invent that term.
I'm just logging it.
Okay, cool. So the show falls away as the show sort of becomes more self-aware and more plot-driven. But that very much exists in the film.
It takes its time, though, doesn't it?
The show?
Yeah, to get to the, you know, to build that plot up.
I was going to say the plot absolutely sprints, man. It's like...
That's what it's meant to say. don't do the TV review, so I'm just the...
It's opposite that.
Because sorry, I'm going to sit back over here.
What's so fascinating about that is that everything else about the show is so subtle and so underplayed. and kind of ostensibly nuanced that you don't notice that the plot is absolutely racing. Like, within one or two episodes, characters will sort of pop up, entangle themselves, and then disappear again, never to be seen or heard from again in the entire plot. And it's...
Is that kind of something like, you know, you're having an entire relationship in a week-long I pay for your GFE?
Yeah, yeah, GFE. Exactly.
GFE!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It shouldn't work in that snappy way, but for all of those sort of aforementioned reasons, it does.
On escort listings, Mike, that's what it's called.
Is that right?
GFE or GFX.
It sounds like a sort of stock exchange.
I thought they meant a Greek from experience.
One notable difference between the film and the show is that the film is set in the backdrop of the financial crisis. And money obviously becomes a very key tenet of the world. People trying to make money, people trying to hustle. All of the men are constantly talking about how their business is failing. And it's actually really condemning of masculinity, I think, the film specifically, because she just has to sit there and her job is kind of just to listen to all of these like faceless white men drone on endlessly about their boring business deals. But it does kind of exist in this clunky metaphor where, I mean, metaphor is not even really the right word, but it's like, there is a clunkiness to the underlying premise, you know, which feels a little obvious or naive at worst. Like, you know, sex workers are workers too. Like, you know, it's a business as well. Like, you know, yeah, okay, of course.
And it's got all the cold and brutal ups and downs of regular business as well. Like she has to, but which is having to sort of work out her tax and stuff.
Exactly. It's like it's interested in that side of things more than it's interested in the sex work. Whereas the show, like, so you never see the character in the film have sex, but the show, it's one of the first things you see her do, and then you see her do it again and again and again and again and again. And it actually does kind of lionize the idea of sex as work. There's no real discussion in the show about the potential brutality, to borrow your term, or soullessness, or, you know, it always kind of like just assumes that these characters are into it, and that kind of carries on in the second season as well, although it does depart from that. With so the second season has two parallel storylines, and the first storyline of the two, you see the woman kind of engaged in a sex act, which is actually really uncomfortable and really gross and kind of like, especially in light of recent events in the world, very difficult to watch. And the film actually feels very prescient for that reason, because it's this kind of like fascinating discussion of you know, masculinity and feminine power, exactly, and how money, the flow of money and the flow of finance kind of complicates that. And parts of the show are difficult to watch, yeah, like, you know, for that exact reason. It feels kind of uncomfortable in many, many scenes. You know, you're watching these characters just like...
I can see your body language is saying you're gripping that water bottle there and you're all hunched.
I feel tense.
You feel tense about it. Let's talk about the... firstly, this is a little bit off topic, but the as you say,
never.
As you say, that was based on the Steven Soderbergh movie.
Correct.
But listen to the guy's name who created it for TV. How American is this name?
Lodge Kerrigan.
Yeah, that's a... Think of a guy called Lodge. Think what he looks like.
It's pretty amazing.
Lodge. Anyway,
I think he's probably jacked, I reckon. He's like, I imagine the guy Lodge is, you know.
He looks like.
Really, he wouldn't be a small guy, would he?
I think it's worth noting that a lot of the show, a lot of the episodes are written by a woman as well. It's not just like a sort of male perspective on what
I think it's a very female perspective on the whole thing. But also the lead actress who is... who's quite intriguing the way her.
In the like first
started,
season?
Yeah, well, just started watching. When we first started watching, we were like, I can't tell if she's a useless actress or really, really good.
I think
she's really good. And she's she turns out to be Elvis Presley's oldest grandchild.
What?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Try and pronounce her surname.
Kyo?
Riley Kyo.
It's spelled like the word cough. I just want to say Riley Kyo.
Oh, well, that's one of the great mysteries of the English language. You know that sentence. Every main word in this sentence is spelled the same way, but pronounced differently. The tough coughs as he ploughs the dough. We're all...
Wow.
English is awful.
Good job. You can tell your dad is an English teacher.
Thanks, Alex.
I think that it is like a really... I think one of the show's strengths is its discussion of power and how that power ebbs and flows. And I think that all of the performances are kind of nested in that discussion of power. And it's so fascinating to watch these characters deal with such a nuanced thing, you know, and have to have... Like, you're just kind of never sure whether these characters are actually interested in the person that they're talking to or they're just being paid to. And I just kind of find that super fascinating to observe as a viewer watching an actor kind of tackle that, you know. And I think it's really delicate and really, really nicely handled.
Is it on now?
It's on now.
It's on now?
So the show, the film was in 2009. The show came out in 2016, and then they renewed it for a second season, which started in November this year. And I think it's going episode by episode on Neon presently.
Very good.
Yeah. It's got some pretty funny casting choices as well. There's one of the main guys from TV on the radio, and also Harmony Korine is in the cast.
Yeah, I knew about Harmony Korine. I didn't know about
Harmony
the TV
Korine,
on the radio.
Large Kerrigan. Rowdy Kell.
Tunde.
That was a good pronunciation.
Tunde Adebempe, who I think is the lead. He's the US Marshal.
Ah, in the second season. Oh, whoa, that is really strange. Well, okay. That would have been a great musical link to lead us into a song.
You've picked a way better tune.
Well, okay, what I wanted to say about the soundtrack was that it's composed by Shane Carruth, who made one of two of the most unintelligible films of the past decade, Primer and Upstream Color.
I love Primer. Upstream Color, I couldn't get my head around.
And then comes along and composes the score for this show. That's just like his only compositional credit for
IMDb. He's got to be mates with someone, doesn't he?
A really good job.
So is he the music supervisor as well as the...
There's almost no actual soundtrack in it that isn't composed. It's all OST. It's like, it's all composed originally for the show.
Let's play something from it.
Well, I didn't choose something from that because I don't think you can play like moody Moby style B-sides. Yeah. But what I did do is I chose a song from another cool series about sex work this year. Called The Deuce, that we've talked about several times. Here is Dusty Springfield, Son of a Preacher Man. Big tune.
Shut up. Woo. Sizzling. Seriously.
Preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Pastor Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard, we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was. Yes, he was. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He'd kiss and tell me everything is alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Lord knows he was.
Yes, he was.
How will I remember the look was in his eyes, stealing kisses from me on the sly, taking time to make time, telling me that he's all mine, learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how.
Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.